CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with the author, Greg Branica, who is a cosmochemist, his day job. He's an author, Impact, How Rocks from Space Led to Life, Culture, and Donkey Kong. We seize on the world life because we've established that there's a way of saying what happened before the moon and after the moon. Right now, Greg, I need a definition. What is a complex organic molecule?
Well, a complex organic molecule is a molecule that contains carbon, usually some hydrogen bonded to it. And then when it becomes complex, I guess it gets a little bigger than just carbon and hydrogen. So, you know, the definition is quite fuzzy about what complex means, but it just means something that's got a little bit more to it than just carbon and hydrogen, I guess.
And the reason we're looking at them is because the word organic is highly suggestive. However, we don't have at this point, we don't have the formula that we need to put together organic molecules, amino acids, and meteorites. But it would appear that you have the elements for it. That's from reading your reporting. You don't go any farther than that. You just say that you have these elements, which is why the question is, were they here on Earth when the Earth was built? Or did they come from meteorites? But Greg, you've taught me that Earth and Mars and the asteroid belt and the meteorites that fall upon us and even the comets that come in from the Oort cloud, we're all made of the same thing. Is that correct?
Essentially, yeah. So, you know, different elements are going to be concentrated in different areas. But yeah, we're all kind of made from the same blended material from the molecular cloud. So yeah, you're right. We're all kind of the same stuff as just in different ratios.
So I have the page from Greg's book where he gives us a chart of present in meteorites, amino acids, nucleotides, and other selected essential molecules for life. This is a pretty long list, and you say that it could be a lot longer, and you're working on it all the time. So where are we going with this? We have rock. Heated rock, this is the Earth recovering from the collision with the Mars-like planet. And we have, all right, let's veer away from that pursuit to go for water. Where does water come from? We can presume there wasn't much left after that collision.
That could be true. There's actually some evidence to suggest that water may have existed prior to that and then was maybe liberated during that moon-forming impact and then basically settled back on the planet afterwards. So water doesn't necessarily have to be delivered from, you know, the Oort cloud or from beyond Jupiter's orbit or anything like that. You know, Earth has, you know, what we think of as a lot of water on it, but that's only because it's on its surface. Earth doesn't actually have that much water on it when you compare it to other meteorites or other samples in the solar system like meteorites.
The reason I ask after water is because I understand we need three. I've been taught you need three elements for life. You need water, you need energy, and you need rock. Okay, so we have rock on Earth. We have plenty of energy. The core is, we have a volcanic, I mean, we're geologically active. We also have the sun. And we have two elements, and we have lots of rock. So, meteorites, what do they tell us about organic molecules being introduced into Earth with impact? And if they're part of the solar system, does that mean this is a pursuit that you will continue throughout the solar system when we have more samples?
So yeah, I think you're right. We need all those things for life to exist and get kickstarted. But you need kind of you need amino acids. You need kind of what we're made of, our DNA, things like that. And how that assembles is certainly not something I have the answer to. But I think what's interesting is that we have all of those ingredients that are present in meteorites, and they were delivered to the early Earth. So I think that's what I found to be the most interesting when, you know, learning about this in graduate school and since studying it, is that all of these things exist and are created, amino acids, they exist and they're created in the outer solar system. And then of course, when they're delivered to planets like Earth, then they provide ingredients, for life to get kickstarted. So I'm not saying that meteorites brought life to Earth. I'm saying they brought the ingredients, that allowed life to get started.
Right, and the nucleotides are, you have the list here, adenine, guanine, and uracil. Two of them have DNA and RNA in them. One of them is just RNA. But I read speculation all the time. I get Science Magazine and Nature Magazine. I have no idea what's going on, but I enjoy reading titles that I can't solve. And I see routinely, they're keen on RNA these days, very keen. Are you, as a cosmochemist, looking at meteorites, are you keen on RNA as well?
I'm keen on RNA. I'm keen on DNA. I like all the amino acids. I like all the nucleotide bases. You know, I'm non-discriminatory with that, I guess.
And why are you pursuing them? Is because that is it reasoned that that's part of the missing formula, how that happens to come together with something that moves?
I think the kind of difficulty for life to get started on Earth is made a lot easier when you are delivered kind of pre-made sets of, you know, things like nucleotide bases and amino acids. If you only start with elements and they're not already kind of put together, then the emergence of life becomes very, very difficult problem to solve. Whereas if you're kind of delivered, you know, a ready to go kit of you know, amino acids and parts of DNA, then life getting kickstarted becomes a lot easier, I guess is kind of how I see it.
All right, Professor, I give you a test that I enjoy giving to people who are working at the frontier of the known, which is what you're doing. I give you an unlimited budget. What do you do next, Greg? We have a couple of minutes. You can spend money.
Well, I think what I will say, what we're doing right now is fantastic in the space missions that are bringing samples back. You know, an unlimited budget just to look at meteorites is not necessarily incredibly helpful because those meteorites came from an area that's more pristine in outer space. I think what's going on with you know, samples coming back from Bennu and Ryugu in these sample return missions is exactly what I would want to do because it allows us to go out and get samples of asteroids that are very, very pristine, that really are the first snapshots of when planetary bodies started to form. And we've already found that amino acids exist in these types of meteorites that have never been on Earth's surface. So it's not like it could be contaminated. These things are in outer space. So, you know, to take to your question about unlimited budget, I think doing exactly what we're doing with space missions, going to collect samples from Mars, going to asteroids to get samples, this really helps us figure out how everything got going and continues to thrive.
So what we, mounting a mission to the asteroid belt would be in train. Mounting a mission to any of the moons of Jupiter or Saturn would be in train. That's about to happen. Mounting missions to the surface of Venus would help if you get a sample back, if that's possible. All of that, you're just collecting more and more evidence and pursuing the question of how we got here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our origins are really interesting to a lot of people. You know, whether you're a philosopher, a religious leader, if you're a scientist, it doesn't really matter. People look backwards to find out where we came from. And this is the way to do it from a scientific perspective, is to study meteorites, to study the early solar system. So that's at least my perspective.
The book is Impact, How Rocks from Space Led to Life, Culture, and Donkey Kong. Greg Branica is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.